I mean, the title of the paper that came out, it said, "Do Tshuva Now, Avoid the Holiday Rush." First of all, I'll tell you over a few eclectic, strange, interesting zogs, you know, pshatim from different, from G'dayli Olam, that talk about the value of doing tshuva right away, hurrying up, not waiting to the last minute. First, is a bavusta piece from that they bring from the Arizal. The Mishnah says in the Gemara says in Brachas that it's better to go achor de ari velo achor de isha. Hope it passes to say that it's better to go after a lion than after a woman. So the pashup shot of the Gemara is it's better to walk behind a ferocious lion, who might turn around and eat you, rather than behind a woman, because if the lion turns around and eats you, you lost your olam hazeh, but you still have your olam haba. If the person goes behind the woman and he ends up, it causes him to do averas, he might think he might have olam haba, but he could forfeit chas v'shalom his olam haba. So better to go tov leilech, it's good to go after a lion than after an isha. But they bring from the Arizal that it's a remez for doing tshuva at the onset of Elul, not waiting too late. Why? The zodiac sign for the month of Av, the previous month, the zodiac sign for the month of Av is Ari, Leo, the lion. The zodiac sign, and again, it's, you know, in the Geisha Welt, you have a Sagittarius is like two-thirds of one month and a third of another month. It's because they're getting it from us. By us, Chodesh Tishrei is this, Chodesh Cheshvan is this, it's the full month. So Av is the month of Leo, the Ari. Elul is the month of the... I'm stopping. Av is the month of Ari. Elul is the month of Isha, is the Basula, or Virgo, Basula, Isha. And the month of Tishrei is the month of Maznayim, Libra. It's the scales. It's where we're being judged. Says the Arizal, it's better to go and do tshuva, achor d'ari, after the month of Leo, after the month of Av, at the onset of Elul, the lo achor d'isha. Don't wait till after the month of Isha, the month of Virgo, the month of the Basula. Oy, it's, tomorrow's Yom Adin. I better mount my defense. You have to prepare in advance. Do it at the onset, after the lion, at the beginning of the Isha, and not after the Isha, right before, the day before Rosh Hashanah. Another very interesting kasha. One of the most interesting kashas that I've ever seen. The Sefer Karen Or Pnei Moshe. Chida brings the kasha. Karen Or Pnei Moshe asks the following thing. Says, I know that tshuva changes a person. You're not the same person you were before. You're different. You're not shayach to that same avera. Hashem views you differently. So tshuva changes us, and Hashem will judge us based on our new state. But he has a kasha. When we've done an avera, the Mishnah says in Avos, if a person does a mitzvah, kani lo praklet echad, it makes a positive malach. When a person who does an Aveira, it makes a kateger, it makes a negative, an accusing angel. So the kasha is, how does a person get rid of that malach ra that was nivra? That's a barrier, it's an organism, it's a davar chashiv, it's an entity, and our halacha is that a barrier, afilu be'elefloi bottle, even one in a thousand. You know, a drop of milk in a pot of soup is not a problem with batel b'shishim. But if you have an entire organism, if you have a bug in there, we don't say the bug is batel. How are you mevatel this organism, the aveir, this evil, this entity that was created by dint of the aveir the person did? That's his kasha. So his answer is, he says like this. Says, and I truly don't know, I'll say it over and you'll, I don't understand what he, exactly, we can't understand what he means. He says, it's true, our halacha is, our Bavli paskins, that certain things are filu be'elof le'batel, even one in a thousand, which means one in a million, are not batel. But the Shitas Yerushalmi is different. Tur brings it, the Yerushalmi paskins, that these otherwise unnegatable items are batal echad betat kas, 1 to 960. Tuf kuf sanach. 960 to 1, according to Yerushalmi, has the ability to be mevatal, even these, you know, super, it's a form of super betal, and it's able to work. So he says that what the Karen Or Pnei Moshe says is that the word, if you take the gematria of the word Tishrei, and you add 50 for the Nun Shari Bina, Tishrei must be 910, and you add 50 for the Nun Shari Bina, that becomes 960, and therefore you're able to get rid of the, you have this form of super bittel that works, and that's Mevatel B'malachra. Those are the words of the Karen Or Pnei Moshe. But I think when the Chida quotes him, but then the Chida elsewhere says, he goes on his own, he has a different Mahalach to answer some other things. He says this quality, based on the Yerushalmi, that you have super bittel of 960 to 1, he says that explains, first of all, why the Mabel was 40 days. Because you needed 40 days times 24 hours, which is 960 hours. You needed the 960 hours, tough kuf samach hours, of the hot searing acid rain of the Mabel to totally eradicate and destroy and be mevatel all the ra that was in the world. That, he says, is why Moshe was Bahar Sinai for 40 days, because 40 days times 24 hours is 960 hours. You needed that koyach of 960 to totally cleanse and purge and remove any last vestiges of gashmis to enable Moshe to become the Ish Elokim that he was. That, he says, is l'mashal why we have a mikvah that's mem saw, 40 saw. Every saw is broken down into 24 lugan. There are 24 lugan in a saw. That's 960 lugan. It's with the koyach of 960 lugan. Again, tatkas, that's mevatel that negates and gets rid of the tumor that's on the person. He even says, the Chida, that that's why our boyam yon kaidim yitziris havlad bas kol yaitze, that there's the yitzira, the formation. I'm not sure what that really means. I'm not sure what that means, but the yitzira of the child is after 40 days, because it takes 40 days, which is 960 hours, to totally prepare to cleanse the goof in order to be makabel the new neshama that the goof's going to get. And that could be the pshat, how we get rid of this malach ra as well. We have the aseres yimei tshuva, plus the 30 days of Elul, which Elul always is 30 days. That's 40 days, 960 hours. If a person uses all 960 hours properly, avada, you're allowed to sleep, you're allowed to eat, you're allowed to live your life. But if everything is geared towards, I'm changing, I'm going to be different, I'm going to make different kabbalas, if you use the 40, full 40 days, this is the ultimate, you got to do tshuva now, because you need all 960 hours. That could be the pshat. That would be a pshat according to Chida. The Bnei Yisachar brings this. Bnei Yisachar says, this Agav Urcha, he says, where does this number of 960 come from? Why is there a super bittel with 960 al pi Yerushalmi? He says, I don't get it fully. The boys in class yesterday, I saw them with a periodic table, some of the guys, and there were a lot of elements in the periodic table. But Bnei Yisachar says that there are four, Chazal say there are four basic elements. There are four yesoides. There's fire, water, wind, and earth. Says the Bnei Yisachar, everything, every bit of matter is comprised of one of these four elements. Fire, wind, earth, or fire, water, one of them. Okay. He says, each one of them in turn, every prat, every bit of Eish Lamashal, in and of itself, is comprised of these four elements also, on a subatomic level. So every bit of matter really is really comprised of 16, you know, subatomic particles, so to speak. Says the Bnei Yisachar, that's why Bittel of 960 works. Because every prat of matter has 16 subatomic particles in it, 16 times 60 is 960. So he says it's really back to our old friend Bittel Bashishim. It's 1 in 60, but it's 1 in 60 at the subatomic level, and therefore you need 960. Okay. Interesting. I was telling that over to someone yesterday, and he says that doesn't understand it so well. Okay. Nacha Remez. Nacha, interesting. There's a Mishnah in Ava says, I don't know if this even started, but okay. Mishnah in Ava says that Kol Shiyir is Chetai Kaidam L'Chachmasai. As long as a person has the Yiras Chait, he has commitment, he has Yiras Chait before Chachma, the Chachma is Kayemis. But Kol She'en Yiras Chait, they call him a Chachmasai. If a person doesn't have Yiras Chait and he has all the Chachma in the world, that's not going to work. It's Derech Eretz, it's a Rashi's Chachma Yiras Hashem. First you have to have Yiras Hashem. So if the Yiras Hashem is before the Chachma, that's good. As my father said, maybe a little remez, that shofar, the Gemara talks about how blowing a shofar is not really a malacha. It's called a chachma ve'ein a malacha. It's a chachma, it's a skill, but it's not an actual malacha. It would only be an issur d'rabbanan. So blowing shofar is a chachma. Says the Mishnah, kol sheyiras chetei kaidel mechachmasai, as long as you have the yiras chet, the preparation, the trepidation, the preparing for tshuva, where you have fear and you're trying to change and you're concerned, kaidem lechachmasai, before the chachma of shofar that's blown in Rosh Hashanah, then chachmasai miskeyemes, then the shofar, which is a maisa chachma, that lasts, that has an effect. But kol she'ein yiras chetei kaidem lechachmasai, if before the chachma of shofar you didn't have yiras chet, you didn't have the elul, you didn't have the slichas, you didn't have the change in the commitment, ein chachmasai miskeyemes. You can blow your shofar, but all you're doing is tooting your own horn. For it to go ahead and have an effect, you have to have the elul, the slichas, the preparation, the yiras chet before the chachma. Let's get to our parsha a little bit. The beginning of the parsha, it's a kasha that the Shem Shmuel brings the following kasha from the Kutzker Rebbe. He says the following shot from the Kutzker. He says, parsha starts off, Kisaitel Mulchama Alivecha, when you go out in battle against your enemy, and Hashem gives them into your hand, Vashavisa Shivi, and you take captives, and amongst the captives you see someone, what do you do with the captives? The Torah is starting off from the point of when you go to battle, and they're given into your hands, and you've taken captives, says the Medrash, Dibar HaKosev Behoveh. The Torah is talking about what the reality is. It's a reality. When you go to battle, and they're given into your hands, and you take captives, says the Medrash, the fact that they'll be given into our hands, and we'll take captives, is a foregone conclusion. You will be successful in battle. The Medrash says, Kasha is, if you look in Bahalaischa, In the parsha of the Chatzaitzreis, there the psukim seem to say it's not so clear. It's not guaranteed that you're going to be successful in war. There the psukim say, "Hisavol melchama ba'artzachem," when the battle enters your land, "Al hatzorer hatzorer eschem," with the oppressor is oppressing you, you shall blow trumpets and you will cry out to Hashem, and Hashem will hear your cries, and you will be remembered by Hashem. So there it sounds like you have to take measures to be successful in battle. You have to blow trumpets. The Ramban often says that the trumpets that are blown b'shas melchom or before battle are to arouse us to tshuva, just like the shofar in Rosh Hashanah is. And you will be heard by Hashem, and Hashem will be zocher you like He zocher us on Rosh Hashanah. Sounds like you have to do steps. You have to be aroused to tshuva. You have to cry out. Hashem has to hear us. He has to remember us. So which is it? Is it when you go to battle against your enemy? You know, it's when you go to battle, they're given in your hands and you win. What do you do afterwards? Is the victory a foregone conclusion? Or do you have to take steps, measures? Says the Kutzker Rebbe, it's a simple chiluk between the two cases. In our parsha, it says, Kiseitzi l'mochom aleivecha. When you go out and battle against your enemy, it's an offensive battle. You've made the first strike. In Parshas Bahaloschitz, Kisavol melchom ba'artzachem, when the battle enters your land. In other words, the enemies made the first strike. Says the Kotzker Rebbe, very practical. You know, the best defense is a strong offense. If you have the element of surprise, if you made the first attack and you struck first, it's very easy to be successful because you were able to mobilize, you were able to prepare strategy, you were able to, you know, garrison your troops in advance. When you go out, when you make the first strike, but if it's kisavol mochama ba'artzichem, when the battle enters your land, in other words, they've made the first strike, and I'm now on the defense, and they've established a toehold, a bridgehold into my territory to displace an entrenched enemy, is not so simple. And you got to try. So with us, we have to cry out, we have to do tshuva, we have to be zoichendit. That's the practical, on a practical level. But the Kotzker Rebbe then says, let's bring this discussion about battles, the difference between an offensive battle and a defensive battle, let's bring it back to the battle each and every one of us face, the battle with the Yetzer Hara that we all have on a daily basis. Says the Kotzker Rebbe, if you go out and battle against your enemy, if you're on the offense, if you make the first strike, you head the Yetzer Hara off at the pass, you do not allow it to make inroads into yourself, you're always on offense, then you're able to be successful in din. But when the battle enters your land, in other words, the Yetzer Hara has already attacked you, which means you've already made concessions. You've given up a little ground over here. You've been a little lax about this over here. Once you've allowed the Yetzer Hara to put his toehold into you, then to get rid of that Yetzer Hara, it's not so simple. But Mela, you have to blow trumpets. You have to do tshuva. Hashem has to hear you. You have to be worthy of being heard. Again, difference between offense and defense, difference of making the first strike. That's the way the Kotzker says it. Could be there's another chiluk between these two parshias. Again, our parsha starts off, yes, it's on the offense when you go out in battle, but there's another difference. Here it's all b'loshin yachid. Kiseitzei l'melchama, when you, doesn't say kiseitzchem, when you all, when you individual go out in battle, aloi vecha, on your b'loshin yachid enemy. Unisanai Hashem alakecha b'yadecha. It's all said b'loshin yachid. In Bahaloscha, it's Baloshin Ravim. It says, Kisavol Melchama Ba'artzachem, when the battle enters your lands, Al Hatzorah Hatzorah Eschem. Again, it's in Loshin Ravim. When we deal with a physical or normal war, it's the same thing. When you are united, when you go out biyachad as one, and you have one concern, we have our common enemy, then it's easy to go ahead and win. But if kisavol mechama ba'artzachem, if I'm fighting for my land, I want to protect my homestead, and you're interested in protecting your homestead, it's kisavol mechama ba'artzachem. That's, I have my land, you have your land, that we each want to protect. It's true we have a common enemy, but I'm really interested in saving my own. And therefore, it's not so easy, because sometimes in warfare, you have to make a strategic withdrawal. You have to go ahead and be willing to sacrifice this ridge in order to gain a tactical advantage somewhere else. But if I'm only interested in saving mine and you're interested in saving yours, I'm not willing to give up my... I'm sorry, I'm not going to go along with this plan. When you go out as one, unasaneh Hashem alakecha b'yadecha. But when we're not united, united we stand, divided we fall. And that relates maybe to the same Melchemes HaYetzer, like the Kotzker Rebbe brought it. Maybe what it's saying is, when you go out in battle, biyachad, as one, united, which means, number one, I'm willing to be there to help you in your battle against the Yetzer Hara. If you need help, if you need strength and encouragement, I'm willing to spend my time to be there for you, and I'm willing to allow you to be there to help me. Rather than a person who, I have no time to help you. You need help. I'm busy doing shuva right now. Well, leave me alone. I have to hop around all the mitzvahs, and I can't help you with your avodas Hashem or your shuva right now. If you have a person, if you're going out as one, which means I'm concerned about you and I'm willing to take the time to help you as well, and I'm willing to get help from you, because that's another failing. Very often people they're doing their own thing and they're unwilling to let their defenses down and ask another person for help when we all might need help. If you are united, if you care, if you're willing to lower your defenses and be there for someone else and allow someone to be there for you, but if you're doing it for yourself, I have to take care of this, I have no time for you right now, and I'm surely not going to, you know, expose myself to you in order to ask help, it's a lot more difficult. Those were the ideas that I wanted to share that have to do with doing tshuva now. You have to be on the offense. You have to chop around all of Elul, all 40 days, all 960 hours. Right. There's a famous guy. Let's go to a guy on the par. Famous guy on the par. I shouldn't say it's famous. You know, whenever everyone says over, everyone says, the famous Gemara. This is a guy, till a couple of years ago, I never saw it. Very powerful. There are two myths. The Gemara says, the Mishnah Gemara and Peah says that the Torah generally does not tell us the schar for mitzvahs. Torah doesn't tell us the schar for mitzvahs because the Torah wants us to go ahead and keep all the mitzvahs. If you know the schar for mitzvahs, I'll do this one, I'll skip that one. But then the Gemara continues. But there are two exceptions. There's the exception we have in this week's parsha of Shaluach HaKan. By Shaluach HaKan, by sending away the mother bird, Torah says that the reward is long life and a good life. It'll be good in... I forgot the exact... I don't know the exact pasuk. Exact pasuk is... By Shaluach HaKan, it's L'man Yitav Lach V'Harachta Yomim. It'll be good for you and a long life. And by Kibbut Ave'im, it says it the other way around. L'man Yitav Lach L'man Yarichon Yamecha U'L'man Yitav Lach. So it's the same reward. A good, long life in the two cases. What's the connection? Why, when the Torah doesn't give us the reasons at all, never gives us the reasons, why is it giving us the reasons in these two cases? Says the Yerushalmi, and everyone uses this to explain the Mishnah Avos. Because Kibbut Ave'im, says the Gemara, is considered one of the hardest of the hard mitzvahs. Shaluach HaKan is one of the easiest mitzvahs. It's the easiest of the easy mitzvahs. I mean, the Chazal explained there's no expense, you don't have to prepare for it. You see the bird nest, you shoo it away, you've done the mitzvah. Kibbut Ave'im, as we know, is a very, very hard mitzvah. Gemara recounts Amorayim, who said, I never even came to the Madrega of Esav HaTzadik, as Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam calls him, Esav HaTzadik. Never came. Kibbut Ave'im is a very hard mitzvah. Shaluach HaKan is a very easy mitzvah. That becomes the basis for the Mishnah and others. La'olam havizor b'mitzvah kalak kibachamor. You have to be careful with what you consider an easy mitzvah and a hard mitzvah, because you never know what the reward for mitzvahs are. I view Kibbut Ave'im as a hard mitzvah, so mistame I get more reward than Shaluach HaKan as an easy mitzvah. No, Shaluach HaKan has the same reward as Kibbut Ave'im. What this teaches me is I have to do all the mitzvahs. I mean, it's not that I may as well, and I better do them all. Because what I might think is a non-significant mitzvah relative to others, and the reward might not be so chashiv, that's not the case. It might be just the other way around. So, we have that contrast. The contrast, the reason why the two mitzvahs that the Torah gives the same reward for are to illustrate the contrast between hard mitzvah, easy mitzvah, same reward. But there's a word from the Gaon that says just the op, says something very, very differently. Gaon brings a Zohar. Zohar says that Kibbut Ave'im is not, if we assume Kibbut Ave'im and Shaluach HaKan, at their core, they're both motivated by compassion. It's a nice thing. You have to be nice to your parents. You have to go ahead and be nice to the mother bird. Now, and even the Ramban, famous Ramban, that says that the mitzvah of sending away the mother bird is not to be nice to the bird. It's not that Hashem was the founder of the Audubon Society, and Hashem is a bird lover, and we've got to be nice to birds. Because if you really want to be nice to birds, don't take the mother, don't take the babies. That's like by Osiris, but no, you're not allowed to shech a mother animal and its kid on the same day. That's seemingly, it's not compassionate, it's not nice, but it's, if you really want to be nice to the animals, don't shech the animals at all. It's, the Ramban says, the Torah, when we're able, the Torah asks us to act in a nice way to train us to be nice. So the kindness isn't for the bird's sake, it's for us to learn for the birds. But everyone, so even according to that Ramban, everyone still agrees, everyone still assumes that Shaluach HaKan, sending away the mother bird, is a kind, compassionate act. It's to teach me compassion. Says the guy brings this Zohar that says quite the opposite. I'm going to read the Zohar. It's good to read it. Somewhere. Zohar says, these are not notes. They're, oh, listen to Zohar. When a person, Zohar, it's brought in Zohar Chadash and Rus, it's a Tikkuni Zohar, Bein HaBechaya brings it. When a person sends the mother bird from her nest, the mother is so grief-stricken that she wants to drown herself in the ocean. And according to the Vilna Gaon, sometimes in fact she does kill herself. During her flight, she yearns to be with her children again. She cries out so hard that the angel that's designated to take care of the birds goes to Hashem and says, does it not say that you have compassion on all of his creations? V'rachamav al kol masav. So how can you command man to send away the mother from her nest? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears the angel's heartfelt supplication, Hashem gathers all the other angels and he says to them as follows, this angel is concerned for the welfare of a bird and is complaining for its suffering. Why are you not complaining about the suffering of my chosen nation, the Jewish people? Why are you not distressed about the fact that the Shekhinah, which had been in a place of dwelling in the Beis HaMikdash, has also been sent away and exiled? Why are you not begging me, as is the bird's angel, on behalf of my children, the Jewish people? So Hashem takes the cruelty that it is a cruel act. Person acted cruelly, the malach of the birds comes and says, it's not fair. You know something, you're right, but it's also not fair what you do to the, what's going on with the Yidin. Hashem then directs his ches, his compassion, towards Klal Yisrael, and he immediately decrees beneficial experiences. He then forgives his children for many of their sins and iniquities. The Zohar is telling us that far from being an act of chesed, it is an act of achzorius. It's a cruel act, says the Gaon. In fact, the Gaon says, that's the way we read the Gemara in Mishnah and Brachas. Mishnah and Brachas says, if a person's davening and he wants to make an analogy, and he says, Hashem, just like you have compassion on the mother and her nest, you should have compassion on us. We silence that person. Homer al kansipo yagir achamecha mishaskin. We silence him because Hashem's mitzvahs are not compassion, they're gezeiros. Says the Gaon, the Gemara means what it means. It's not a mitzvah of compassion. It's a gezeiros, it's a decree. In fact, it's not compassion, it's a cruel act. Why? He says, because, and that he said, and he says, it's a cruel act, and that's why it's the same reward as kibbud av v'aim, which is the ultimate compassionate act. He says, because the real test of a person, the barometer whether a person is a true Eved Hashem, is not in whether they're kind and nice and do good things to people. Because you have some people who, by their very nature, they're kind and compassionate. They're friendly, they're outgoing, they're the community's welcome wagon, they're into Achlasis Orchim, you know, they'll spend the day doing what they're doing, and at night they're doing Bika Cholim. You have some people that are like that, but how do you know they're doing that because it's a mitzvah or Kadosh Baruch Hu, or because that's their nature? They like it. They love, you know, they're very gregarious. When you, on the other hand, you have some people that are more introverted, that are not friendly. You know, you have a couple who might never invite people over, but it's not because they're cruel, they're evil people. It's not their thing. They don't feel that comfortable with other people. So how do you know that a person who's doing chasadim, who's doing certain things, how do you know that does he really deserve this great reward? How do you know that he's doing it because it's a mitzvah? Maybe he's doing it because he personally enjoys that. Says the Gaon, the only way to know whether a person's doing even a kind act as a mitzvah of Hashem is when he's willing to do an unkind act as a mitzvah for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. the only shleimus that a person can exhibit is if they do davar vehefuchai. They do one thing, that's one extreme, and they're willing to do the other extreme. So a person who goes ahead and acts kindly all the time doesn't prove that they're oivdei Hashem, and they are mahu chanun, afani chanun, just like he's kind, I'm going to be kind. They just love it. They enjoy it. He says that's the pshat by Avraham Avinu. Only after the 10th test, the Akedah, does the pasuk say that now I know you are a Yorei Elokim. Avraham was alive for 136 years till now. In those 136 years, he had done the first 9 tests, according to most Rishonim. He had lived a life of chesed, being there, spreading the word of Hashem, doing wonderful things. He's not a Yorei Elokim. He doesn't have Yirat Shamayim. Says the Gaon, till now, at least for other people, till now, Avraham was a wonderful, sweet person. But maybe that's what it was. He was wonderful and sweet. How do you know that it's doing it, that it's actions based on his commitment to the tzivuyim of the Torah, to the commitment to the Torah? It's only when he goes now and he acts out of character. Instead of doing a nice, kind thing, he's going to go kill his own son. You're willing to now kill your son? Oh, that proves to me or to the rest of the world, now you're a dedicated person. Now you're a real Yorei Elokim. The only time a person is it's certain that a person is an Adam Shalem is when they do davar vehefuchai, one thing and the opposite. Only then are you proven to be a real dedicated person. And he says that's why the Torah has the reward for kibud av v'em, and shaluach hakan is the same, because they're bookends. The reward is not, oh, you were so nice to your parents, I'm going to give you a reward. Oh, you were so nice to the mother bird, I'm going to give you a reward. Or you were so... The reason why the reward is the same is to show... is because these two mitzvahs show that you're doing it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to do it. If you're willing to do a cruel thing, if you're willing to act out of your nature, out of character, and do something cruel, that's because you're committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we can view your kind acts also as being commitments because of your commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same reward for the two is because they're both accomplishing the same things. You need the two extremes to prove that you're a real Yorei Elokim. You're a true Oved Hashem. That's why they both deserve the same reward, because it's in tandem, the two create that or bring about that reality. Now we know you're a real Yorei Elokim. You deserve schar for being a Yorei Elokim, for being a committed person, for doing whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. That's the pshat of the Gaon, where the reward is the same. But he ends off with one thing. Not only is the reward the same by kibud av and shaluach hakein, the same thing is the punishment. The Yerushalmi says that the punishment is also the exact same. Because the Yerushalmi says, it's okay. We're finding it. Shalmi says that a person who neglects kibud av v'em and shaluach hakan, they are eaten by birds. Birds will feast on them. A person, I hope I get this right, that's why I needed the paper. A person who violates shaluach, who doesn't do kibud av v'em. Now, kibud av v'em is a kind mitzvah. The person who doesn't do it, he's acting inappropriately unkind. He shouldn't be acting, he's acting cruelly by not being nice to his parents. He's, upon his flesh will feast ravens. The person who doesn't do shaluach hakan, he will be eaten by nisharim, by eagles. So it's the same punishment. They're both being eaten by birds, but there's a difference. The one who doesn't do kibud av v'em is eaten, ravens will feast on him. The one who doesn't do shaluach hakan, eagles will eat from his flesh. Why is the switch between an eagle and a raven? Says the Gaon, because if I were to, these two birds, an eagle and raven, in our Svarim are known, one is known to be a kind, compassionate bird, one is a caring bird, one is an uncaring bird. The raven, we say, is a cruel achzari, it's a cruel bird. It doesn't care for its young. Chazal say, a raven doesn't care for its young. They don't feed the young, and Hashem has to create a nest to allow the baby ravens to eat. Or you see, I know the Shalom brings by the marble in the teva. They were not allowed to be mishamish in the teva. The raven, the orev, was mishamish b'teva. One of the reasons why they were not allowed to be mishamish b'teva is notwithstanding the great miracle of being in the teva and all the food not spoiling and lasting, but you have to have zero population growth because they brought in a limited amount of food. The raven, who's mishamish b'teva, says he doesn't mind bringing children into the world that he's not able to go ahead and feed. So it's a cruel bird. It doesn't have... The raven is a cruel bird. A nesher, an eagle, is a kind bird, kind to its young. It goes ahead and it keeps its young on its back and is willing to take the arrows in itself to protect its young. Says the Gaon, a person who violates Kibud Av V'Em, that's a person, he's supposed to do a kind act. By not doing Kibud Av V'Em, he's being cruel. He's being unnecessarily or illegally being cruel. You're acting with cruelty, you're going to be eaten by a raven, which is a cruel bird. Mita keneged mita. You're inappropriately cruel, cruel creatures will do inappropriate things to you. The person who doesn't do Shaluach HaKan, sending away the mother bird is a cruel act. And we do it to elicit the rachmanis from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person who doesn't want to send away the mother bird, I can't do that. I mean, the poor mother, I can't do that. That's a person who's acting kindly, with compassion, when it's not called for. That person is sinning with compassion. You sin with compassion, you will be feasted upon by a compassionate bird. You sin with non-compassion, with kindness that's inappropriate, Mita keneged mita. I've said before this. I think it's just a beautiful shot. That's kedai. I said it over to the bachurim. It makes a lot. It's a beautiful vort. It's a beautiful shot. I think they bring it from the Chavetz Chaim. In Tehillim, it says, Mi yala bahar Hashem umi yakum b'makom kadoshay. Who will stand in the mountain of Hashem, and who will ascend the mount of Hashem, and who will stand in His holy place? It's the person with clean hands and a pure heart, asher lo nasa lashov nafshi, v'lo nishba l'mirma, which art school will translate, that has not nasa lashov, that has not sworn in vain nafshi, by my soul, v'lo nishba l'mirma, and has not sworn deceitfully. So there are two types of inappropriate oaths that the person hasn't done. Who's the one who zocha to go all the way up there? He didn't clean hands for your heart. Didn't swear lashav. Didn't swear falsely, and didn't swear for deceitfully. Why do you have to have two phrases describing an inappropriate shvua? Just say that did not swear inappropriately. Why do you have to specify two different types of shvuas that are wrong? But more than that, the wording isn't good. The wording is a little schwer. It says, the person who has niki chapayim ubalevav, asher lo nasa lashav nafshi, that did not swear in vain or for nothing, nafshi. It should say, bin nafshi, with my soul or by my soul. The word nafshi doesn't flow in the phrasing. The art school puts in parentheses, by my soul. There's another pshat that they say with a beautiful mashal. There was a poor man who was down on his luck, and he goes to the financier Rothschild. He's desperate for help, and he tells him his tale of woe. And the Rothschild goes to his bank and withdraws 1 million francs, pounds, whatever the currency was, brand new money, unused, still sealed, sequential serial numbers, brand new money, never touched. He gives him an interest-free loan for the year. A year later, the guy comes back. He goes into Rothschild's office, he opens up his bag and he pours out the money and he has a big smile on his face. I gave you back, I'm an honest guy, I'm returning all your money. And Rothschild sees the same money that he gave him the year before. Still sealed, still wrapped, Same sequential serial numbers. The guy's got a smile on his face, and Rothschild starts fuming. He says, "You fool, you idiot. What do you mean? I'm an honest guy. I gave you back your money." "No, I gave you your money to help yourself, to better your lot in life, to pay off your debts, to help your family, to make business, to do good things with your money. You used the money for nothing. It was sterile. It was purposeless by you. If I would have had the money, I could have done tzedakah with it. I could have made more money with it. I could have used it productively. The money by you was a waste." Says the Chofetz Chaim that the same is true with each and every one of us. Each and every one of us has been given a multi-million dollar gift by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We've been given an neshama. And with the neshama we have, we're given a certain amount of life, and we're supposed to live a proper, useful, productive, meaningful life. Sometimes, after 120 years, a person goes back, gives back their neshama the same way they got it. Unused, unspent, unproductive, unsuccessful, wasted. That person wasted their life, their neshama they carried for nothing. Says David HaMelech, Mi yalo bahar Hashem. Who will ascend the mount of Hashem and who will stand in his holy place? It's a person with clean hands, pure heart, asher lo nosa lashav nafshi, that did not carry in vain, that did not carry for naught my soul. It's the person who after 120 years can say, I used my life productively, I had a purpose, I had a tachlis, I made a difference, I was there to help myself, I was there to help others. That's the person who's able to go ahead and stand Bahar Hashem and be zoch and tshuva.